Well, praise the Lord. He is here. Amen. I don't believe He's here. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You may be seated. Everybody happy tonight? Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Praise God. Well, ushers, would you come? You know, I was talking to somebody on the phone today, and this scripture just kept coming up in our conversation. It says, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Say, "I have need of endurance." Endurance. Say endurance. Because after you have done the will of God, there's, to me, it's telling you there's a little time after you have done the will of God. There's a little time before you receive the promise. I preached a message a long time ago. Some of you may remember it. In a little while, sometimes a little while is not a little while. How many of you ever know what I'm talking about? And yet a little while, that's what the scripture says in the Old Testament, and yet a little while, you know, somebody's, "Well, I'll be over there in a little while." What does that mean? That means we'll be there. After you have done the will of God, you may what? After you've done the will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. It takes endurance. Say endurance. So endurance is able to keep on running when all your senses says, "Sit down." Say, "I will endure." Scripture says, "Endure hardness like a good soldier." Amen? Say, "I will endure." Praise God. We ask you that. I'm going to pray for the offering, that God bless you. How many need to be blessed? You know, just thank God you're blessed enough to pay at the fuel pump. Amen. If you go very often. I go just as much as I ever go, but my bill hasn't gone up a bit. My mode of transportation has changed, but my bills have remained cheaper than they were. Amen. I took Josh down to get his motorcycle license, and the lady told me that there is more people getting motorcycle licenses now than there ever has been. So, you know, but it's fun. Praise God. Get to pray in tongues. Pray in tongues, I guess, when you drive anyway. Y'all hear me? Amen. And for y'all who don't know, people say, "Well, you around here?" I don't think I have. I'm supposed to go to the World Bible Way Convention on about the 9th of 10th, 11th of June, somewhere in there in Waco. And that's the only thing I think I have scheduled to be out of town, I think, in June. Sign a contract on the ranch. I have 10 days to be out. And so I have moved to Corpus Christi because I had no place to move to here. So I'm living in Corpus, driving back and forth every day. And I'm going to get a place to live here. But anyway, Josh then was busy moving. I moved all day long Monday, but just let y'all know what's going on. Anyway, praise God for taking care of things. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your people. We thank you, Father God, Lord, you supply all of our riches, all of our riches, God, you supply them, all of our needs. God, you make us rich in love and mercy. God, you make us rich in all of your gifts and all of your fruits. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that you supply all of our needs because you're rich in all these things in which you've given us. You have more than enough. I thank you, Father God, that you supply every need. Father God, you supply endurance. God, you supply, Father God, the patience after we may patiently wait for God for what you've spoken to us. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that we shall and we have received the promise, for we have seen it, and we shall reap the full benefits of the promise you have for us. I declare that a devourer's rebuked in Jesus' name. And I declare, Father God, people's minds and hearts are open tonight to receive your word, your everlasting word, Father God, which is able to save us from the current situations that the devil may be trying to entrap us in. I thank you, Father God, you are faithful and you never change. God, with every temptation and every trial, you always make a way of escape. Let us, through your word tonight, see the way out. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, Amen. Well, praise God. Brother Stan, good to have you home. Good to have Scott on. Good to have everybody here. Amen. Praise God. Every time you preach, I hear good things out of it. So I appreciate it. Amen. Let's give a hand. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Are you ready to study? Well, that's half of one. That mean you're ready or what? All right. I told my wife it'd probably be a little shorter tonight. She said, that's what you said last Wednesday night. I didn't tell her it'd be short tonight. I said I'd try. But we did make it. Remember, I promised you we would try last Wednesday? We got up at 5:30 this morning in Kentucky. It was 60 degrees and raining. A little change when you step off down here. A little change. But good trip. Good trip all the way around. I praise God for that. All right. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Treat that word as if it's bread of life, as if it's better than gold. Hold it and say, thank you, Lord, for the word. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you're responsible, not just to fulfill it and do it, but to cause us to understand. Not because we say so, because you said so. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're faithful with that voice of the Holy Spirit to continue to write on our hearts, to change our understanding, to make it more alive and more real, so that every day we can grow into that perfection that you speak about in your word. Use this time tonight, use this vessel to touch, to heal, to change. Not so that we get better, which we will, but so that your kingdom, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. That's why we want to do a better job of handling your word. Teach us your way. Teach us what you feel, what you think tonight. And we know we will leave here changed because of that. And we do it, we expect it, we believe it, because we've said it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to do another one on God's presence. It's going to be, like I said last Wednesday night, I don't know how to treat God's word without his presence. So tonight I'm going to call it God's Word is His Presence. God's Word is God's presence. And if you don't believe that, put the Word away and see what happens to His presence. Now, last Sunday morning, we had while we're looking at this, before I read it, I want to tell you why I've chosen this. Last Sunday morning, we attended a church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. A good Baptist Progressive Church. My son goes there. They're enjoying it. They're enjoying the fellowship, so praise God. And me, I want to be a student of the Word every place I go. Do you understand what a student of the Word is? It's one that knows some and still learning more. I want to be a student of the Word. I said in my prayer, and I mean this, we need to learn to handle the Word correctly. We need to handle it like it's a treasure. You know what you don't do with a treasure? Change it. If it's a treasure, it's already a treasure. You're not going to help it by changing it. And one of the key scriptures that the minister stood up and spoke was this. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. And I'm going to read it to you. I don't have the version he used, but I'm going to read it to you the way he read it. I'm going to skip the last part. He read if this is 4 and 5, and he jumped to verse 7. But I'm going to tell you the way he read it. It says this. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And he went on. He skipped over a verse and a half of Scripture and kept going. And you remember last Wednesday night when I told you I felt this, ugh. Y'all remember when I said that? I felt it again. This time it wasn't something that I did. But I felt the heart of God grieve. And it was so strong that it got my attention. Well, I already knew this scripture. I can quote this scripture because this is a mandate, an offering, and a gift to us. And instantly, a voice came, a vision from God. The next day was Memorial Day, right? And I got this picture of Jesus standing and receiving his rewards. About all these fantastic things he did. By the way, the two greatest things he ever did. And he didn't do them in the order we usually talk about. He saved and he healed. What he did is he healed and he saved. That's what he did every time. He walked up, you're healed, your sins are forgiven. He bore the stripes, bruises, before he got us saved. So there's an order here. It's not just an accident, a coincidence. And so two of the greatest things that Jesus ever did was cause us or offer to us healing, number one, salvation, number two. And I felt him at the award ceremony getting these ribbons, because I'm in a military town, now getting all these ribbons and decorations for the things he accomplished, and missed the most important one, or one of the most important, one of the two most important. And we were talking about the victories of Jesus, the Father looking on, and his Son did not get the one that he paid dearly for. By the way, here, let me say this so you'll understand. It took one less heartbeat for Jesus to die, and there was no pain in it. Do you understand that? Salvation was the easiest thing he accomplished for us. Anybody want to arm wrestle over that? The painful, the hard part was the healing. It took him a long time. It took him that long to die. Do you understand what I'm trying, the picture I'm trying to show you here tonight? And he didn't get his award or reward or acclaim for, and with his stripes, we are healed. Why would anybody do that? Well, because that's a dangerous subject. It's a dangerous subject. People don't want to touch that because we're not too sure how you believe about it. Well, why did you read the other part? You didn't ask him about that. Well, but there's no argument about salvation. Oh, there isn't. Where you've been hanging around, there's plenty of argument about how, what, when, where, how, and why. Why are we backing up on one that Jesus paid dearly for? And by the way, this is a package deal. This is a package deal. You don't get saved without the healing. You only heal without salvation. That's what's shown us in the Word. Why do we want to segment it? Let me sell you this. And by the way, there's an addendum. I'll sell you this. Jesus proved himself by touching and healing. Gathered all his disciples together and said, I give you the power to heal every sickness and disease. He didn't say, I give you the power to forgive every sin. He said, I give you the power to heal every sickness and disease. Well, let's just sweep that one under, because that might cause some division. In this church, that was swept under because it would have caused a problem. Well, it did. It caused it with God. That's what I felt. When we left that day, I talked to my son considerably about that. I said, how would you? Now, you're a soldier. How would you? You got all these ribbons and bars and all this stuff that they give them. How would you like it if the most fantastic thing that you accomplished on this earth, they just didn't recognize it? How would you like that? Would that make you feel good? How would I like it if I knew that you got tortured, you got beat up, they pulled your beard out, they messed you up so bad you didn't even look like a man. And yet you accomplished something in that, and then somebody denies that it even happened by not reading it, not quoting it, not speaking the truth. See, I get mad thinking about that. I get over the hurt, now I'm mad. My Lord did something greater than save me. He healed me. He did that. And I don't appreciate anybody trying to X that part out like Xmas. I don't appreciate it. I'm not ever going to present the gospel as a salvation package unless part of this saving is healing. Well, why are you talking like that, Sam? I'm probably going to talk more about this next Wednesday night if I have the privilege of speaking again. Tonight, I want to touch the surface of it. The greatest dangers that Christians face. You Christian? You mind me sharing with you the greatest danger there is for you? I'm going to just encapsulate it by saying the watering down of the Word. It's the absolute greatest danger that's on the face of the earth. You have your right to your opinion. No, you don't. When it comes to the Word of God, you do not have a right to an opinion. You've got two things that count, opinion and armpit, and they both stink. Wash them away. Wash them often. Wash them with the Word, and it'll take care of the opinion. Give your opinion to God. Don't give him everything else except your opinion. Let your opinion always bow to the truth. He bore my griefs. That's great. Carried my sorrows. Tremendous. We've been hearing about that every Sunday. We don't have the right to be sorrowful. The Word says, full of joy. Well, that's because he took it. We considered him beat up by God. That's the way we look at it. But he was wounded for my transgressions. Number one, that should touch your heart. If Jesus was wounded for your transgressions, oh God, Jesus, I don't want to ever do that again. I don't want to hurt you again. Bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We don't even have the right to be without peace. And I'll show you in further scripture later that your peace totally depends upon your obedience. Totally. You're not going to have peace without obedience. Obedience to what? Number one, what he did for you. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Can I tell you something? If we take that one out, we lose the peace. If you take out the part with his stripes, we are healed, you're going to lose the peace because it's disobedience to scratch out a part of the word. It's total disobedience. Total disobedience. Here's what we do. We think it's loving. We think it's merciful and graceful to allow people to have their opinion. It's even spread into parenting. Parents feel bad if they try to direct their children. Well, they're individuals. They have the right to go where they want to go, do what they want to do. No, they don't. No. My dad used to look at somebody and say, I know the buzzard laid you and sun hatched you. Well, why didn't God do it that way if he didn't want parents to do something? God the Father mandates rules. What in the world right do we have to do any other way, raise our children any other way than by rules? You don't have the right to operate your own life without rules. Anything beyond that displeases, disappoints, hurts God. Because we don't think he knows what he's talking about. If truth sets us free, and it does, we can't alter truth. I can't alter it to make you feel better. I can't do that. It's sick and wrong. Listen, I'm going to say it again. If I know that truth sets you free, what do I do when I alter truth and give it to you? I'm offering you bondage, partial freedom, whatever you want to call it. It's not free. I could use a lot of things, but I'll use what I was raised in agriculture, farming. My granddad did it a certain way. My dad did it a certain way. There's only one way to get a seed up. And somebody that's planted a lot of them can tell you how. I could have better ideas. But if they go very far from the original, they won't come up anymore. Is that right? I give you total right to understand God's word in the way he speaks it to you. That's great. I give myself that right. But only the way he speaks it to you. And I promise you, you can be as free as a hummingbird. He's not going to vary from the word. He'll give you a little leeway until you get your understanding on right. But I promise you, when you get through, you're going to come right back to that snubbing post. Y'all understand the snubbing post? You know anything about horses, you better understand a snubbing post. You get a good ornery one like me, that's kind of a mule. But God will tie that long rope to a snubbing post, and the more you run around him, the tighter you get. And the next thing, all you've got to look at is that post until you make your mind up to listen. That's God's way of doing it. Is that loving? Absolutely. Is that grace and mercy? Absolutely. You were tethered. He could have let you just run off and not learn a thing. Let me tell you how important it is to understand that scripture must be handled as pure gold. There's a story in the Bible. It's not a story. It's a truth that we read. And that's when Jesus allowed Satan to take him up on a mountaintop. And what did Jesus quote to him? The word? Did he change it any? This is how careful we have to be. Did he change it any? Only in motive. Remember this, when you're handling the word, when you're receiving the word, only in motive was there a change. So how did Jesus take care of it? He finished it off. He said, yes, but it's also written. With a smile on his face, knowing he knew a whole lot more about it than the devil did. It's also written. What did he do? The intent was to lie through a truth. How are we handling the word? The old example is there's two ways to handle the word. I can take this big heavy word right here and I can beat you with it. Or I can offer it to you. Which one would you rather have? It's the same word. I know of many people in this world that have been turned off because they were beat with the word. Instead of, here it is, a treasure, a good meal. It's food. It'll give you life. But sometimes in our enthusiasm to get them to accept this gift, we sugarcoat it. Loses its value. Loses its value. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. I told you I'm only going to tip it tonight. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. And here's the thing we're supposed to begin to do. Everybody, did you start your walk with God understanding salvation or receiving salvation, maybe not understanding it? Is that the way we all started? In the process of reading the word, did we stumble over the healing package tied to it? Since they're so close together, I don't know how else you could separate them. You can't read one, not the other. I guess, never mind, I'm not going to say that. That's sarcastic. Hebrews 6:1. Here's the instruction that we're given. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Does that mean no longer pay attention, leaving to one side? No. It means let's don't spend the rest of our lives deciding where we're going to defend healing or where we're going to defend salvation. Let's make a decision and let's stand for something. It's just stand there. I don't care what you think. You know what I have the right to do? I can tell you open right now, I don't care what you think about healing. You're looking at a guy that's been healed so many times miraculously, then it doesn't make, I'm bulletproof to your opinion. You can't tell me there's no healing. It's impossible. You might as well talk to that brick. I'm just that hard-headed. Probably a little harder. Let's leave the discussion of these elementary principles of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. Oh man, now we got a promise. I know, everybody's told you can't be perfect. Now we got a promise. We can go towards perfection. Not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works or of faith toward God. Can I tell you something? It didn't take you much faith to get saved. Man, it's a gift. I promise you, if you don't understand that, you didn't have to believe, you didn't have to fast, you didn't have to pray for 30 days. Salvation ran over you. It was a gift that overtook you. So you didn't have to believe for that. As the scripture he brought out tonight, you had to start believing to hold on to that for a while. Maybe still are, I don't know. But you got to understand that salvation overtook you. Healing, you have to believe. Let's stop this childish stuff and let's move on to faith toward God. Look, if it's easy, it's not towards God. The first step was salvation, very easy for you. But after that, you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Where did that come from? Well, I'm afraid I'll lose it. No. That isn't what it meant. The trembling is the standing. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. What's the work? Standing. Enduring. Persevering. There's all kinds of words you can use. Verse 2. Let's don't go over these doctrines again of baptisms. Let's don't even talk about laying on of hands. That's called a simple thing. There's a Baptist church, a preacher in Corpus, one of the biggest ones there, just got kicked out. Because he came to my cousin's room and laid hands on him, prayed for him to be healed. And the board of elders said, we don't do that around here. And this is referring to that as the child part of believing God. How can this happen? My point to you is, how can this happen? This can happen because we allow people to water, to remove, to change, to massage. Here's a different version that doesn't say quite so much. Well, why did we allow that? Are you for God or are you against Him? I just came from Kentucky. Are you for Him or against Him? Because if you're for Him, you're going to be for all of Him. It's like His presence. You can't take part of it. You got to take all or nothing. And that's His word. You got to take it all. How much? As much as you can handle. That's how much God's going to force on you. As much as you can handle. Never anymore. But it'll always be a press. He'll be pressing you towards the high mark, the perfection. This is a good thing. This is not a bad thing. This is a great thing. I promise you, I don't care if you're 8 or 108, God is still pressing you on to perfection. It's a higher goal, a hierarchical. Don't lay there and even discuss resurrection of the dead. Have you got some of these things resolved in your life? We don't talk about the resurrection. It's a done deal. It's done. You'll never convince me of anything else. Why? Because I've seen it, number one, and I believe it, number two. How about eternal judgment? Well, God's such a good God, He wouldn't make hell. Or, He's such a good God, He wouldn't send anybody to hell. If you haven't heard that, you haven't talked very much. Well, number one, He did make hell for Satan and those that are crazy enough to follow Him. And number two, He'll never send anybody to hell. They choose the way, a wide or a narrow way, a big gate or a little gate. They choose. And if God permits, we're going to move past these things. We're going to go on to higher things. That's what number three says. Number four, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Anybody in here ever been enlightened about anything? In other words, God has revealed something to you. He shed light on something to you about. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit. See, I like the way this is spoken, because we understand that all of this is coming through revelation from the Holy Spirit, explanations, but it's all the Word, delivered by the Holy Spirit, the Word. We've seen this, partaken it, felt it. We've even been enlightened about some things. But here's the danger, and this is what I said, the greatest danger for Christianity is this right here. It's impossible for those who once enlightened have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the age to come. Did I just let you taste some good Word? So you have now become enlightened about that? Now you are responsible. Number six, if they fall away. Here's the danger. When you start weakening and watering the Word and turn your back on it, you're falling away. There's no other way. You're either headed towards it or you're going away from it. But there's no, I'm rocking along, just minding my own business. Because I promise you, they used to call me a pretty tough dad, but I'd let you mind your own business. My business was to lead you the way you're supposed to go. That's what the Bible says. So that later on you wouldn't depart, you wouldn't lose your soul, you wouldn't depart from it. If they fall away, it's impossible or near impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, which is the good Word, right? They crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. You know what? When I read that scripture, you know what I saw? I saw that award ceremony. And I saw Jesus being shamed by them not recognizing the marvelous thing He did for us. Put Him to shame openly again. My goodness. Put Him to shame openly. That's what we're supposed to do to the enemy. We're not supposed to allow him to do that to us. If we alter the Word, we alter what the Son did. That's what it says. And when we alter that, we want to do it to Him again. Explain that. He didn't do enough. When we make excuses why we don't obey the Word, we want to do something else to Him so it's enough. Well, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and I wasn't healed. Oh, you want Him to get bruised and shattered some more? You think He didn't accomplish enough to take care of this little thing that you've got? Some of you are smiling, some of you not. Now, you were a while ago. What happened? I'm asking you a serious question. Do you think there's anything on the face of this earth that Jesus didn't take care of right there in those few days? Let me tell you, this is a basic principle of all Christianity. You must decide in your heart that whatever is bothering you, whatever is buffeting you, whatever is attacking you, did Jesus do enough? And if it isn't, then you're going to crucify Him again. And God don't appreciate that. Jesus went to war. He fought a good fight. He suffered greatly. And you want Him to go back to battle. That's what we do when we turn our backs on a promise. We put Him to open shame. Verse 7, for the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. play the game, you're blessed. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. I haven't done this to you on a regular basis, but let me do it to you a little bit tonight. Let's get serious enough with God's word that it becomes, I don't think I want to risk that. Maybe I don't understand it, but I don't think I want to take that chance. If the enemy comes to me in the middle of the night and offers me death, if he offers me sickness, if he offers me disease, I offer him the word. And it never fails. It never fails. If I listen too much to this other nonsense, then I'm beginning to reject the truth. And I'm opening up the door of cursings. Why? Because I've been enlightened. You know the trouble with good preaching? You become responsible. That's why most people don't go where there's good preaching. They go where it's politically correct preaching, because I don't want to be responsible. I'd rather just be in this stupor. It's important that we want to know God, know His Word. Because I promise you, there's no threat there. There's nothing but promises. Remember, one of the things that stuck with me, I presented to you that we need to submit to the blessings of God. I don't know why that's hard. It's kind of like somebody walking up here with a fistful of $100 bills and say, submit to these, would you? You would not argue for a second. But you got, I just read you a promise that you're healed and you're saved. To be safe, you have to be taken from a danger and put into safety. That's what salvation is. You're taking from something that's killing you and put someplace where there's life in that more abundantly. Woo, praise the Lord, that's good. What about the other promises for us? Don't you think that it should be yes and amen to us? Why? Because they're for us. And what's good for us is good for Him. Jesus accomplished something that we can't argue with. Well, I shouldn't say that. One of the things that God did not take away from us was the ability to rebel. And anytime you disagree with the Word of God, it's just you in rebellion. That's all it is. I'm trying to set you free with solid truth tonight. Because I'm telling you, when I sat in that service, that hurt. That hurt me. And if it hurt me, it hurt God. Because I didn't have any other reason to hurt except you've heard me pray. I want to know what God knows. I want to feel what He feels. It's a safe place. If you reject a promise, you might as well say that you've insulted God. You've attempted to crucify Jesus again. Because evidently He didn't do enough the first time. We've been talking about how much grief takes you down. You know why we carry grief? Because we don't think He did enough. We don't think that if we turn this loose, He'll take care of us. He'll do it to me again. Oh, that's the faith you have? Is that your faith? That that you're just wide open to all problems in the world because you trust Him? That's not my testimony to you. God cannot lie. I'll ask you again tonight. Did Jesus provide an infallible salvation? You're going to have to erase all the bad testimonies that people have told you. I've tried this thing. Did He do it? Is it done? Are you saved? Is it finished? You can never lose your salvation. You can't lose it. You can give it up, but you can't lose it. I agree 100%. Go back to that Isaiah 53. If you would, sir. Isaiah 53, and I want to read that part again. Because I found it so easy for people to accept salvation because it's free. That's what we told. Is it free? Was your salvation free? Well, number one, you know it cost somebody something. But let's forget that for a second. What did it cost you? Your life? If it cost Jesus His, it cost you yours. That's the way it is. If you accept the first three-fourths of this, He did enough. And it's permanent. It only cost you your life. Well, that's scary. Oh, no. You controlling your life is scary. That's what's scary. Take it from somebody that's got a couple of decades on him. It's scary when you make your decisions. It's great when God makes them for you. All right, you've got that down. Now, what about, where do we go? Isaiah 53. I'll turn back there. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. It's not up there, it's here. By his stripes we are healed. Now, what I want you to get in your spirit, I'm on fire about this Jesus not getting his dues. I thank him that I'm saved, but I thank him that I'm healed. And I don't have the right to reject the healing and take the salvation. I don't have the right. Would you agree with me on that? You don't have the right to take one and not the other? That it's an insult to God to take one and not the other? Well, Stan, what do you want me to do? I don't want you to do nothing. But God does. The easiest thing for me to do is tell you, do what you want to. But that's not what the Scripture says. That's what the Scripture says. How bold. You know, just got back from Kentucky. I don't know, I can't tell you exactly how many times my son's been to Iraq or Afghanistan. He can't talk about those things. But I know that right now they're sending back one of the Blackhawks that a friend of his was in as pilot, and he was shot. The chopper's full of holes. It's got to come back and completely be taken apart and put back together. My son flies in the same things. And the last time before he went to Iraq, I wrote him a little card that said this: your bird is the safest bird in the air because you're on there. Because no weapon formed against you can prosper. And I don't care how many people shoot at you, and I don't care what kind of weapons they have. God did enough. He did enough. And when you're facing an enemy, and I don't care what it is, there's already been enough death. There's already been enough destruction to take care of any death and destruction that faces you now. And the minute you decide that, for real, once and for all, then you are safe where you're supposed to be. And when that enemy comes, and he's come to me in many ways, taking away the heartbeat, dying, lots of different ways. Let me tell you something. You better have some of this word. You don't have to have a lot. If you just have Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, you got enough. It'd be better if you had more, but if that's where you start, get it settled so you can move on. You've whipped the enemy bad already. And you can say, you ain't big enough. You're not strong enough because you're not whipping me. You're trying to whip God. And if you think you can. See, Christians are not real Christians until they get some growl in them. They got to be able to look at an enemy right in the eye and say, right. Little growl. My dad always told a story about this great big old guy and this little bitty guy. And this great big guy got mad at this little bitty guy, and he started railing on him. I'm going to kick you, and I'm going to stomp you, and I'm going to... David and Goliath syndrome. And this little guy stood there this whole time pulling on his pants legs. Just a pulling, pulling, pulling. Finally, the guy got angry and said, what do you want? He said, what do you think I'm going to be doing all this time? Think I'm going to stand here and let you... Where is our growl? What we do is, oh, God, get me out of this. Wait a minute, you forgot the Scripture that says he already has. When is it your turn to stand up? Your flesh, let me give you, your flesh wants to get sick. Did you know that? It starts off wanting to die. You know how many days, how many times people that work sometimes just slip into sickness so they don't have to go to work? I didn't say they faked it. I didn't say that at all. They just slip into that. How do I know that? Because I've done that. And God has convicted me, and I'm not going back there. I don't care how good that bed feels on that particular morning. You say no. Jesus said no, and I stick with him. Well, it means you got to go to work. Well, go to work. There's a blessing for you. Go to work. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, let me hold your hand. Now we got two people getting sick. No. What do you mean no? No, you don't feel bad. You're saved and you're healed. That's the truth, and I'm not going to listen to that stuff coming out of your mouth. Well, I don't have to listen to it. I'll leave. I'm just telling you, the same thing got you saved, got you healed. This is nearly, y'all, I already feel a little resistance here. I'm trying to get you out of this. Let me tell you something. You only got a partial truth if all you did is get saved. Get bold enough to move into all of it. Because I tell you what God doesn't want. He doesn't want a sick rich guy. So what do you think might be blocking the riches? Because they're out there for you. You took the salvation. Now he's got wealth. But what good does it do if he gives wealth to somebody that's sick and dying all the time? And all you're doing is throwing all that wealth to a doctor. Been around my grandson, a wealth. Anyway, throwing that wealth to doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. Everybody that don't deserve it. You know what God wants? He wants you to have a sound body and a sound mind. And he wants you to have a sound bank account so that you can walk around and say, them? I'm to bless them? Okay. Not saying, oh, if I give you that money, I can't pay my insurance. God's a good God. And he didn't give us a partial package. And when we praise him, let's don't praise him for salvation. Let's praise him for the whole package. When I'm on a plane, safest plane in the world. Went flying with him a while back, and man, it was a windy day, and he's a pumping those pedals. It don't look like this plane's ever going to get down because that wind is trying to take him away. And this little thing came up in me, and I said, uh-uh. Safest plane there is. I was fighting a plane ride one time coming back from Cozumel, Mexico. And man, we were bouncing and bouncing. I mean, one of these kind in a commercial aircraft. And I'm going, God help that pilot. God help that pilot. And God says, you want him to fly it or you want me to fly it? Oh, you know what? I haven't had a nervous moment since then. Because I think about that. God's flying this plane. You know what? The engines can fall off. The wings can fall off. And if God's in it, it's not falling. Amen. Amen. Let's don't cut out our welfare. Let's don't cut out our security. Let's don't cut out our eternity. Let's keep it in there. I don't want to get just saved. I want to be a steamroller saved man. I want to run over the enemy with word. I want to step on his neck and watch him squeal. My son, my grandson, had this goofy looking little rubber frog, his two big eyes. And he turned that thing up and squeezed that, and the eyes poked way out here, and there's all kinds of scorpions and lizards and stuff inside of that. That's the devil. Squeeze him and watch his eyes pop. Watch those things, the bad stuff inside. I want to step on it. Those eyes come out. I get happy when he hurts. I don't get happy when God hurts. Not going to go there. Not going to go there. Y'all stand with me? Praise the Lord. Pastor, you got something else you need to say? Praise the Lord. Whatever commitment you need to make now, please make it with me. Then we're going to obey the word. We're going to speak the word. We're going to trust the word. And we're not going to weaken it. We're not going to water it. We're going to speak it even if it hurts. The first person the word convicts is you. The second, it helps somebody else. Let it convict you first and say, thank you, God, for the conviction. So that we can reach out there and touch a hurting world that doesn't deserve it. Well, they do deserve it, but we got a remedy. Yes. Amen? All hearts clear? Father, I ask you to bless. Now, you did. And I ask you to speak truth, and you did. I ask you to change us, and you have. I'll accept no other report. We're saved, healed, and delivered. We're saved from death. We're healed from destruction. We're delivered from poverty. We will not spend our time going back over those things again. This is our decision tonight. We're going to move on to perfection. We're going to find those deeper things that you have for us. And always ready to be able to explain to those that don't understand our gospel, our belief, our faith. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that your word is your presence, and we're going to keep your presence by keeping your word. For these things, hallelujah, we ask you. We thank you in advance before we even see it done, knowing that it's done. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all dismissed. Thank you.